Now, you hear folks say things like, have a blessed day. And I want to show you what it is to be truly blessed. Truly blessed. That's the title of the message, Blessed. Genesis 48, we begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Joseph is in Egypt, and he's gone to his father now, Jacob, who's dying. And he takes these two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. These two sons were born to Joseph of an Egyptian woman when he was down in Egypt. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself. Israel is Jacob. Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people. And will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine, as my own sons, he's saying. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephratah, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. Now, the first thing I want you to understand here is something concerning the firstborn son. Now, the firstborn son in the household was entitled to special blessing, to special rights called the birthright from his father, a double portion from the father. Now, Jacob's firstborn son was Reuben. Now, look over at Genesis 49 in verse 3. This is the description of the excellency that went to the firstborn son. He says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn. My might, that's what the firstborn son represented, the might of his father. The beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. But Reuben sinned against his father. And when he sinned against his father, he forfeited his birthright. He lost his birthright. Look at verse 4. This is what he says of Reuben. You're unstable as water. The word is, you're poured out, you're fallen like water spilled out. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went to my couch, Jacob said. So we see a type of Adam in Reuben here. Adam was the first. We see a type of Adam. Adam forfeited his birthright. And when he did that, just like Reuben did, he not only lost for himself the privileges, but for all the children that would be born into his house. He lost the privileges for all them by his one sin. Adam was unstable as water. He fell like water poured out. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, he died spiritually, was cut off from God. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The firstborn right has to go to somebody else, and that one's Christ. It says, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Just like when Reuben sinned against Jacob, his whole house was affected. All the privileges that would have been theirs through their father were gone. That's what happened with Adam. By his one offense, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the righteousness of one shall many be made righteous. Now the birthright, the double portion of blessing, goes from Reuben to Joseph. And we see a type of Christ in Joseph. The Paul told the Romans, he said, God has predestinated, he foreknew some children, and he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. That his Son, this was the purpose, that his Son, Christ Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, I want you to consider how Joseph is a type of Christ. We're not going to turn to these scriptures, but I'm going to give you some history that you've probably read about, and probably some of you young folks probably know about this, but let me give you some examples of how Joseph is a type of Christ. Joseph was forsaken of his brethren, just as Christ was. Joseph went down into Egypt and went into prison and was in chains in prison, just as the Lord Jesus Christ, when he laid down his life, was made sin for his people and bore the wrath of God, he went into the grave, often called the prison. Joseph was released by Pharaoh, the king of the land, and he was given charge, government, over the whole land of Egypt. And he was over the storehouses, so that any who were in need and hungry, they came to Joseph, and he opened up the storehouses and fed them. That's a picture of Christ. Christ rose to the Father, and the Father's given him all power in heaven and earth, and he has the keys to the storehouses of all God's grace and mercy to open to those who come to him in need. And Joseph saved all his father's house. They all ended up down in Egypt, and he saved them. Even those that had betrayed him, he forgave them and saved them by opening the storehouses to Jacob and to his brethren. Our Lord, there's free forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the storehouse is open to all who come to him. Now, the second thing I want us to consider, we have to get that set up first here. We're going to look at Joseph in this account here in Genesis 48. We're looking at Joseph as a type of Christ. Now, the second thing, and we're looking at Jacob as the father, as a type of God the Father. Now, the second thing here is the everlasting covenant. I want you to see something about the everlasting covenant. Covenant's just a fancy word for promise. It's an everlasting promise. Now, we're looking at Jacob the Father and Joseph the Son as a type of God the Father and God the Son. But for a moment here, the type is going to change just a bit. Jacob is about to speak of the covenant which God the Father made with him. Now, the promises of God, all God's promises, are given freely to each believer because of the promise that God the Father made to God the Son. So, listen to this, Genesis 48:3. Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Now that unbreakable, that everlasting promise of God that he made to Jacob, it meant all his children would receive every blessing that God gave to Jacob. Now, that's a picture. That's an example of the everlasting covenant that God made with his Son. And because he made this covenant, be turning to Ephesians 1 now. Hold your place there in Genesis 48. We're going to come back to it. But Ephesians 1. When God the Father blessed his Son, chose him and blessed him, he put a people in his Son. And when he did bless his Son, he blessed his people with all the blessings of that everlasting covenant, all the promises of God. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're looking at God the Father as a over Jacob here as an example of God the Father and God the Son. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. These are brethren he's writing to, believers. Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How did he do that? according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, so you see how that this everlasting covenant goes to the sons, because it goes to the firstborn son, because he's chosen of the Father. It goes to him. Jacob was the firstborn son. It went to him. Now, we see Joseph is the firstborn son. This blessing's going to Joseph. All right, now look here in Ephesians. The next verse speaks of adoption. While you're there, look at this. Not only did he choose some in Christ and bless them with all spiritual blessings in this everlasting covenant of promise which he made with his son, but he also predestinated them to be adopted. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. The Father did this by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now let's go back to our text, and let's get back into this type we began with. Is Jacob is a type of God the Father, and Joseph is a type of God the Son. All right? Now we're going to see an example of adoption. We're going to see an example of adoption. Verse 5. He says, now, this is because of the promise that God made with him. Because God promised him a blessing. He gave him an everlasting covenant. Now Jacob is here as stands as a picture of God the Father, and he's making this promise with his son, as we just saw. And because he's made this promise with Joseph, who is the firstborn, at Reuben sinned, he forfeited his right. Now Joseph is the firstborn. So Jacob is making a promise to Joseph. But because he's made this promise to Joseph, Joseph has two boys that came from Egypt, that were born in Egypt. And the blessings that go to Joseph are going on these two boys. Watch. He says, and now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. What does he mean by that? They're mine. As Reuben and Simeon, just as my own sons, they're mine. That's adoption. He just adopted those two boys. Joseph here came to his father. You saw predestinated unto the adoption by Jesus Christ. Joseph here, type of Christ, comes to the father. And he brings these two boys with him, Manasseh and Ephraim, born in Egypt. Born in Egypt, born of an Egyptian woman, born in Egypt. And he brings these two boys to Jacob. But because Jacob was giving this blessing of the firstborn to his son, Joseph, just as God the Father blessed his son. Jacob says, now you bring those two boys to me, and he says, those boys are mine. Just as much as my own sons are mine, those two boys are mine. They're mine. Just as real as God the Son is God's own son, those who are saved by His grace are God's sons. They're God's son, God's children, His sons and His daughters. He predestinated them to this adoption by Jesus Christ to Himself. Christ came into this Egypt below. He came here and He lived and He died and He redeemed a multitude of children. A multitude of children. And He entered into God's presence and He presented those children to the Father, just like Joseph came here with these two children and presented them to Jacob. And by Jesus Christ, God the Father adopted those children and said, they're mine. They're mine. They're holy. He can receive them. They're holy. He can have them Himself. They can come into His household. They're worthy to be children under His roof. Because God's too holy to look upon iniquity. On sin, but in Christ they're holy, and now they are adopted. And not only this, but He predestinated them to an appointed hour. Let me read this to you. To an appointed hour in which they would be, the Spirit of God would come, and they would be born of the Spirit to enter into this blessing. Galatians 4. Let me read this to you. He says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, because Christ finished the work God gave Him from the beginning, because God the Father put His children in Christ from the beginning, and all the blessings He determined to give to His Son, He's going to give to His children. And because Christ has redeemed them and presented them to the Father, because ye are sons, God sends forth the Spirit into their hearts, whereby they cry, Abba, Father. Now they behold God as their Father. He was their enemy when they were in sin. Now He's their Father. Jacob said, these two boys are mine. Now, and those whom God the Father has adopted by Jesus Christ, they receive an inheritance from God, which natural sons do not receive. Natural sons don't receive this blessing. Now, Jacob made these two sons heads over their own tribes. He made them heads over their own tribes in the place of Reuben and Simeon. And He gave them a portion in the land of Canaan, not in Egypt, in their own land in Canaan. Because each boy's got this for free because of who their father was. Christ is our everlasting Father. These boys' father was Him. But God the Father said, they're my sons. And look, in this picture, in this type, if Joseph has any other children, now look at him as a man now. If Joseph has any other children, they're just going to be considered Joseph's natural sons. They won't receive the adoption like these two boys did. They won't receive blessings like these two boys did, simply because they're Joseph's sons, or for that fact. They won't do it. They're considered natural sons. Look at verse 6. And thy issue, he's talking to Jacob, thy children which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. Now here's the spiritual application here of what's being said. A son born into the house of a believing father may receive gifts from his earthly father. He may receive an inheritance from his earthly father. He may receive privileges from his earthly father. But it doesn't mean he receives anything from God the Father. Nothing. It entitles him to nothing from God the Father. Now, the best commentary on these two verses is in Romans 9, in verse 6. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. That's what he's saying to them. The sons you have afterwards, they don't get the blessings these two boys get. They're mine. They're mine. And he says, the children of the flesh, they're not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Who's calling the shots here in this whole thing between Jacob and Joseph? Jacob is. Jacob's the father. And he says, these two boys get the blessings. Now, the other sons that's going to be born to you, they get blessings from you, Joseph. They're your sons. But these are my sons. Now, here's the point. God's grace is distinguishing, electing grace. Spiritual blessings are given from God the Father in Christ to the children of promise that He chose and put in Christ. And they're born of the Spirit of God, and they have God to praise for everything. Because He chose them. He chose them in His Son. He blessed His Son. He was faithful to the promise that He made with His Son, just as His Son was faithful to fulfill the promise He made with the Father. And all those that come, that are presented to Him by His Son, the type we see in Joseph, they're His sons. And the rest are natural sons. They're natural sons. Now, and it's a great inheritance. This is a great inheritance. Look at Romans 8 with me just a moment. Romans 8. That's important for you to know, that point about the sons, the natural sons, because this whole thing of covenant theology and all, it's trying to continue things under the old covenant system. We got a bad problem with that. We want to make men priests. We want to still worship in temples and praise the temples. We still want to offer up, have smoke and incense and do all the things that were done in the Old Testament. And men still want to try to bring the old covenant into God's everlasting covenant. It's of God. All that was to show a picture of what God does in Christ. Now, but look, here's this inheritance. Verse Romans 8:15, to those that are called and blessed of God. Look at verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've been adopted. The Lord Jesus Christ's Father is our Father. Just as real as He's the firstborn, and we're the brethren in His house. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. Now, I want you to turn to two more scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And then we'll go to Hebrews 12. But I want you to see this. Now, here's the application. Jacob is declaring the blessings of God to his son Joseph, so that Joseph and his sons will leave Egypt and go to his father and his brethren. Not to look to Egypt as their home anymore. That's what he's telling them. Joseph's still in Egypt. It's going to be a while before the children of Israel are delivered out of Egypt. But he's telling him right now, you're not a child of Egypt anymore, son. You're a child of Canaan. He's saying, don't mingle with the Egyptians any longer. Don't have anything to do with them. Your blessings of God in Christ, in Canaan, in glory. Now their inheritance is with the people of God. That's why I'm preaching this gospel to you. That's why Jacob raised up and said all this to his son. Now here's the first constraint of grace. It's having these promises. Having these promises. Everything we just saw there. 2 Corinthians 6. Having all spiritual blessings in Christ. That's what we saw. We saw we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. Let me say this to you. Seeing as how we have all spiritual blessings in Christ, what Jacob's saying to Joseph and these boys is, don't look to Egypt anymore. Look to Christ. That's where your blessings are from. He says, seeing that God's able to predestinate us and everything around us and bring us to this adoption, don't worry about the waves anymore. Don't worry about the waves here below anymore. Look to God the Father. Trust Him. Seeing as how that He's made you joint heirs with Christ. Now, don't set your affection on the treasures of this world. Set your affection on Christ, the treasure in heaven. Now, that's the first constraint. Having these promises. Look at 2 Corinthians 6 and look at verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's exactly what Jacob's saying to Joseph. Leave Egypt now. And look what God the Father says, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having, therefore, these promises, dearly beloved, you see the constraint is grace. It's not law, it's grace. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us be joined to Him who is our separation, joined to Him who is our sanctification, joined to Him who is our holiness, and be separated from this world. Wash your hands of this world, be done with it. That's what Jacob said to Joseph. That's the first constraint. Now here's the second constraint, Hebrews 12. Oh, I messed you up. Got you to turn too soon. You still in Genesis 48? Are you still holding there? Read the next verse, Genesis 48, 7, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 12. Now look what Jacob says to Joseph and these boys next. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way. That's Joseph's mother. That's these boys' grandmother. She died by me in the land of Canaan. Where was she? in the land of Canaan. When yet there was but a little way to come to Bethlehem, that's what the word is, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. One writer, you be turning to Hebrews 12, and I'll make a comment on that. One writer suggests this, what Jacob is doing, we saw the picture of the gospel in what he did and blessing his firstborn son and blessing those sons in him. We saw the gospel in that. And in what Jacob is saying to Joseph, it's the gospel. God has blessed me with all spiritual blessing. Our land is Canaan. So he constrained him with this gospel of grace first. And then here was the second constraint he gave him. He suggests to them that the death and burial of their mother, Rachel, in Canaan, he uses that to stimulate Joseph. He's saying, if your mother left everything, if she left all, and followed me, and went with me, was married to me, and went with me, this example, her example, it ought to induce you to bid farewell to Egypt. Your mother left everything behind, and she came to Canaan. She left it all and came to Canaan. And this would prepare them to do as their father and their mother had done. Leave all and take possession of that which God had given them freely. Now, that's what the Hebrew writer tells us. And this is the second constraint. We have the constraint of grace. Here's the second constraint. He gave that roll call of faith. He even says in that roll call of faith that as Jacob was dying, he leaned upon his staff and he blessed those two boys because he knew God the Father. They were the ones to be blessed. He knew they were the chosen boys. And he did that by faith. And Jacob says, and your mother, look at how she walked in faith and left everything behind. Now here's what the Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that means? That's where you're seated. You who believe him and trust him, that's where you are. As secure as his son is, that's where you are. That means we don't have to fret about this Egypt. We don't have to join ourselves with this Egypt. We have this great cloud of witnesses. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, those of you who don't trust Christ, don't yet trust Christ, sinners in need of mercy, let me say this to you. I can't press upon you the urgency to enter Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, to lay hold of him by faith. I can't press upon you enough the urgency of this matter. You're not going to find anything but just the pleasures of sin for a season in Egypt. We're in Egypt. This land, this cursed land is Egypt. You're not going to find anything in this land. And I urge you, there'll be no lasting blessings for you in this land. Just as Jacob preached this gospel to his son, I urge you to leave Egypt. Leave it. Leave it. And flee to Christ by faith and rest in him and trust him. It's a treasure that never fades away. Never fades away. And brethren, to you, listen, as we behold the faithfulness of God the Father toward his Son in this gospel we just saw, and we behold his faithfulness towards all those sons he put in his Son, you see, he's going to be faithful to you because he's going to be faithful to his Son. He was faithful. Jacob was faithful to Ephraim and Manasseh because he's going to be faithful to his son Joseph. Because the blessing goes to him. And as you behold it, you behold the faithfulness of all these dear saints who died in faith, having these promises and having this great cloud of witnesses. Hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing, the rest and the refreshing. Hold it fast to the end and leave Egypt. Turn your back on Egypt and leave Egypt. I pray we'll do that by His grace. Amen.